You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bage, host of The Entrepreneurs. Ryan Prince is the founder of Uncle, a London-based property company which was built on the idea of making renting in the city a more desirable and stress-free experience. They come with a concierge, wonderful amenities, and great community spaces too. Ryan is a passionate advocate for more flexibility for renters and for rethinking how we build cities and nourish communities. Uncle is owned and managed by Canadian real estate investment and property management firm RealStar, which was co-founded by Ryan's father. Ryan spoke at Monocle's Quality of Life conference in Berlin a few years ago and was a past guest on The Entrepreneurs as well. As we come out of the pandemic, I wanted to catch up with Ryan to hear his take on life in London moving forward. With all the headlines about people fleeing to the countryside, I was curious about the conversations that were happening at Uncle. For today's episode, I caught up with Ryan atop Uncle's Elephant and Castle building to catch up and enjoy the sweeping views over London. Here's our conversation.
We're now just approaching between the buildings that we have open and fully operating and ones that are under construction, approaching 14 locations. The lion's share of those are all around London on major transport nodes, the Tube, Crossrail, and so on. And I would say things definitely slowed down a little bit since the last time we spoke. The last lockdown, I've lost track of whether that's second or third or whatever it is, slowed some things down, but to the tune of 2 or 3 months. So it hasn't been dramatic, but it certainly had an impact. From a trends in the city point of view, I think what we certainly saw is the second or third lockdown, people really knew what to expect. And I think that impacted different markets differently. But a lot of people decided to get out of Dodge because they knew their offices were going to be closed and they knew that there was at least a month or two when they weren't going to be called in. And I think we're now just seeing the beginning of people returning and we're at the front end of that. But certainly the trends and what we're seeing in our buildings and on the websites and on the streets are that people are coming back.
Well, that's definitely exciting. As I mentioned, we did an urbanist episode on how we bring life back to the city, how we create more vibrancy. I think being in central London, that's going to happen naturally when the theaters reopen, when tourists are back again. But as far as living, what have you noticed in what people are asking for? We've seen all these headlines in the news about people fleeing to the countryside and wanting to work remote full-time, which we know isn't great for anyone, isn't great for cities, isn't great for businesses. But what are you actually seeing in the numbers?
Well, it's fair to say it's still very early days. And I think that this idea of hybridization or a hybrid between work and live is absolutely going to be the trend that persists off the back of what's happened in the last year and a half. And I think what that means for lots of people will be the best of both worlds. And what I mean by that is office spaces are already changing to accommodate things that we learned in the last year and a half, the space that you need, the use of those spaces, the mix of uses between collaboration, digital meetings, private workspace, all those kinds of things. And then the flip side to that is the home as a place that now is accepted as a place that you can work from legitimately, which maybe before wasn't the case. I think the statistics show that, you know, it used to be 5% of people work from home, and now that number will go up to 20% on some basis. And I think broadly speaking, we can expect almost all people to work from home one, maybe 2 days a week going forward, depending on their jobs and the nature of them. And I think that what home offers is going to be really important. So at Uncle, we're thinking a lot about what were the shortcomings that we all experienced when we were stuck at home in the lockdowns, and how can we put in facilities and services to really offset those negatives. So do you have a Zoom room? Do you have lunch that you can go have with people that you live in the same space as? What is your apartment layout? What kind of rooms do you have? How important is a workspace? How important are printers? How important is internet speed? All things that we intuitively knew, but the importance of those in their rankings has just shot up the scale.
In a sense, you were well positioned to handle a lot of those things. Obviously, some of the amenities you talk about, people haven't been able to use to full capacity. But going forward, particularly in this building, in Elephant and Castle, you're well set up to have a wonderful sky lounge where people can go and work if they are at home, change of scenery, a great view, all these things. So you already offer that. But what has the conversation been about what more you can do? You mentioned Zoom rooms and other things that people might be asking for. But as far as home, work, life, and balancing that in the building you live in, what else have the conversations been with the team at Uncle?
Well, I think the pillars that we've been looking at are physical health, mental health, and services, and this idea of hotelization of things going on in real estate. And so for physical health, it's just massively expanding where we have space and capacity, the offering, the growth of businesses like Peloton has shown. I think that whole working out market is going to change dramatically going forward. So as you know, we've got Pelotons in buildings now. We'll keep expanding those kind of offers to accommodate what people want. Similarly, on the mental health side, we put in some meditation pods in our new building in Wembley. That's been incredibly successful, and we'll continue to kind of roll out some of those things around mental health. And then around work, we're creating different work environments where we have the space. So individual work pods, so you don't have to work in your apartment if you don't want to, but want to work on your own. Meeting room spaces, so that if you're working from home one day and you want to have two or three colleagues come over and you don't want them to come out and hang out in your living room. So different ways of allowing for working from home, but not necessarily in your apartment, although clearly lots of people will continue to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I can't help think about when things start to look a little bit more normal, the advantage of working with businesses in the vicinity as well. I had a great conversation with another Canadian entrepreneur, Michelle Romano, about this idea of curation of the high street, and people are going to want that a little bit more going forward. And Monocle, where we are in Marylebone, it's a great village type feel. What are you thinking about in terms of how you partner with local businesses or get people to really be involved in their community? Because there is an importance to that when you're thinking about the community inside the building as well, I guess.
I think the collapse of a lot of retailers and the high street, I think it's really a form of creative destruction in a way. So on the bad side of things, we've seen the end of thousands of jobs, and where those are going to get replaced, we need to figure out. On the positive side, I think from those ashes, we'll regrow rents that are affordable, entrepreneurs that can afford to start businesses, and create, as you describe it, a much more localized, organic approach to retail, whether that be food or clothing or services, your local barber, all those things, I think in lots of areas will regrow from what we've seen. For us, I think on the community side, it really starts in the building. So I've always looked at our uncle buildings as kind of these neighborhoods within a neighborhood. And my dream has always been that everybody could just leave their door unlocked and knock on the door and say hi and meet your neighbor. And we have programs when you move in that the manager will throw a note under the door and introduce you to the people that live next door to you, as just an attempt to create that friendliness. I've always said, moving into our building, it's not like you have to sit around a campfire and sing kumbaya. Everybody's got their own personal space and ways they want to live. But we want to open the opportunity for people to do that, to treat each other with a sense of humanity and a sense of kindness and look after one another in varying degrees. And so for us, that's really where it starts.
We've talked in the past about the idea of sort of branded living, where you're creating an experience, you're creating a community that people can talk about, people can point to and say, this is the way I live, this is the way I want to live, this is why I pay to live in this neighborhood and in London or that neighborhood. Talk to me a little bit about how important that is when you're thinking about people who are choosing to stay in the city or are coming back from their hiatus in the countryside when they were working on Zoom. How important is that for you going forward? Obviously, you're building a brand with Uncle and continue to do that, but how much do people want that involved in their life?
The first principal point of that is I'm a fundamental believer that cities are not dead. And in fact, I think we're going to see a huge resurgence into the city in different ways following, you know, as we continue to get vaccinated. And the reason for that fundamentally is we've all been living in a way on borrowed social capital time. And so for the kinds of businesses that are being created today to grow, they need to hire hundreds, thousands of people year on year. And our experience, and I'm sure lots of your listeners' experiences, you just can't create that social capital within the universe of people on Zoom calls. It's really great. There's huge benefits, but fundamentally trust and understanding and new ideas just don't spark on those calls. They just don't work that way. We've all had enough people to tell us turn off mute enough times to know just it doesn't flow. And so I think that that knowledge piece will drive lots of people into the city. And with that, the different communities that you talk about. So I think we're just a very, very small part of that puzzle that kind of hopefully leads into where people come back to and where they choose to live. And our goal is to pick places that are really, really convenient to get around and to have local amenities and let people choose what they want, which is why we haven't gone for 2,000 apartments in one location and called it a day. We've really gone for a chain approach where we have lots of different locations all across from north, south, east, west.
You know, I mentioned to you off air just the idea of what this type of living will look like going forward in looking at the hotel space and what they've already done in past and what might continue to grow. The Hoxton, Ace, are brands that have done incredibly well with bringing people to them as a bit of a community hub. You have a certain way you want to live and travel and play, and you can do that all under one roof, maybe go there for the day to work and network. But how much opportunity do you think there is in that being a permanent way of living for people who are looking to experience that in the place they live? You know, I lived for a long time in a condo in Toronto, and there was maybe a pool on the roof and a social committee, but nothing really beyond that. You know what I mean? There seems there still is a lot of space and opportunity for entrepreneurs to come in and sort of make that more of a reality, more of an option for people when they're looking to rent.
Yeah, I mean, what you just said really is the reason we created Uncle, is that if you looked at the living space, there is still no consumer brand that probably anybody's heard of when they want to live somewhere. You know, you go to a portal and you look up a price and you go check it out. And if it looks nice, you move in. You don't really buying an experience where you are in the airline business or the hotel world or anything else. So I think the playing field and the world is wide open still. And the way that people are going to live in terms of flexibility is only getting greater and greater because jobs are changing, family dynamics are changing. And so having flexibility to move around from a small flat to a large flat, from one location to another, and go through that whole chain in a very simple, user-friendly way is for a huge portion of the population, obviously not everyone, but 50 plus percent, we think a really attractive option. And so that's the intention behind the brand, is to, exactly as you say, create those choices for people.
And what about people buying into it in terms of, let's say, equity or flexible ownership? Is that something that really exists? Because we have, you buy a house or you're a renter. And I was talking to the co-founder of Airbnb recently, and they talked about giving equity to the host, which could be controversial in a sense because it creates more incentive for people to rent out their flat and not to actually live there, which creates all kinds of problems in cities. But the point of that was bringing more people into the brand and giving them an option to make a little bit of money. Is that something you've considered, or would you go to an ownership model in some of your buildings?
So the business is pretty complex if you think about running this building as nearly 300 apartments, and there's a mixed use of affordable living and also shared ownership blended in that's not under the Uncle brand, but we operate the whole estate. So it's complicated. When we set up the brand, I had ideas of allowing our residents to go Airbnb their apartment when they go on holiday, and effectively they could then almost repay a bunch of their rent by renting it out. And I thought that would be a great idea until the lawyers came in and told me that that would create a whole range of problems for our banks and a whole bunch of other people. So I do think it's constantly about trying to challenge the status quo and find ways to add flexibility and choice for customers. To date, we have really not focused on ownership for all the reasons you described, which is by curating the neighborhoods, we're able to do the kinds of things that we want to do. Once somebody owns their place, they quite rightly have a right to decide what they want to do with every single apartment. And so we lose that sense of control to manage the whole thing in a holistic way. And so for us, that's really the essence of why the model works so well.
You mentioned that part of the offering here is affordable housing, which is so important for developers in cities all over the world to think of. I've seen conversations from a number of cities, including my hometown in Toronto and Vancouver and places that are becoming increasingly expensive to live. London, obviously, quite far up the list. But what is your view on that as a developer? What is important for you to be thinking about in terms of not only livability and making cities great places to be, but in attracting people to want to stay here and spend their hard-earned money on their rent?
I mean, I think the question you ask about housing policy and housing more generally is one of the questions I've spent the most time thinking about, not just from a business point of view, but personally, probably for the last 2 years. I think globally, there are enormous shortcomings around housing policy. It's a political football that gets thrown around, and it is sorely lacking in new and innovative ways to solve it because no city has. You know, we talk about the London housing crisis, but there's one in Toronto, there's one in New York, there's one in San Francisco. And so we need new ways to think about how we tackle these issues to accommodate all the different cross sections of what people are rightly entitled to. I think we all think about food and shelter and understand that housing is, in these kinds of economies, a right. It's a human right, and people need to have housing. And so I think there is a real place right now in our society for a different approach to thinking about how we unpack and solve some of these issues.
Fair enough. Ryan, thank you so much for this. It's great to sit down with you at one of your buildings at Elephant and Castle. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it, Dan.
That's Ryan Prince, founder of Uncle, speaking to me from the company's Elephant and Castle building here in London. You can find out more at uncle.co.uk or listen back to episode 366 of The Entrepreneurs for a full conversation with Ryan. That's it for this week's show. My thanks to Jack Jewers and Christy Evans, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.